Hi, this is George Hewlett with the Downtown Church of Christ here in Morrilton. We'd like to invite you to share and worship with us and experience the love we have for each other and our Lord. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. with Bible classes for all ages following the worship period. I'm sure you'll find yourself glad to be here. But if you can't attend in person, you can still hear an encouraging message from God's Word each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. right here on Motown Radio 92.5 FM and 800 AM.
Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 18. And as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour.
Good morning. I think it's been a while since I've been up here, so please bear with me. I asked Charlie how long I needed to be, and he said 30 minutes, and I said, "We're in trouble." He said, "That's okay. He'll include the singing, the invitation, and Lord's Supper if he needs to, so it'll probably be shorter than normal." This week was a fantastic week. Southern Christian Home, I just thank you for all the guys that helped do that. That was amazing. I've driven by several times looking at it going, "We did that. That was awesome." And so we'll continue that on. Also, this week was getting ready for camp, and I probably should have asked. We asked for cardboard. And I know that y'all are going to come through, and y'all did. What I should have probably asked is there someone that can just provide it all? Because I found that out this week. There's somebody that can provide it all. And the boxes are like 5 by 5 by 6. They're massive. And I got a ton of them. I even called the other camp week and said, "You don't need to bring any boxes. We got you covered." So I won't name this person. I'll just say, if you need cardboard really bad, like you're moving and you want to put all your house into like 2 boxes, let me know. I know the person that can do that. So I appreciate them doing that. I just made 2 stops, and with what we had, I even called the other camp director and said, "I hope you got another idea for cardboard. Because we can build boats and we can make big boxes of letters and do all kinds of fun things with the kids." And we talked about making murals for the different tribes. So it's exciting, that all the stuff that's going on there. So thank you for that. This week for the lesson, George has been doing this, the rest of the story, Paul Harvey, kind of a tagline. And I've been thinking about this one because I was wanting to talk a little bit about camp, was Paul and Silas. Probably two that you don't talk much about. We really don't talk. We talk a lot about Paul, but Silas, no. And I actually, as I've been thinking about this lesson, I actually thought of some people that, and I won't name any names, but that fit these two guys. And it's a really unique story, because when I heard Wes read that part of the story, I was thinking, very well read, but that's probably not the way it came across. And I say that because you have this demon-possessed lady following Paul and Silas around. And they're trying to teach the gospel. And you have this demon-possessed lady. And one of the commentaries I read talked about how, you know, Paul had to tell her to stop because that he didn't want the gospel to be founded on what this woman was saying, even though this woman was saying the truth. But I kind of thought it probably was totally different than that. It was probably one of those situations, me just reading this over and over, thinking about it, that voice was probably a very screechy, demonic voice, maybe. But it probably every time Paul got into wanting to talk about the gospel with someone, here came that voice. And if you were the audience of Paul and that voice came along, you might be like, this isn't for me. It's one of those instances where you have something you want to tell someone about, and then someone that is, for lack of a better, crazy comes up and tries to make your case for you, and then all of a sudden, the people that were listening to you may not want to listen anymore, and they walk away. And I think that may be why Paul did that. In verse 19, just shortly after he gets the demon out, it says, "But when his master saw that their hope of profit was suddenly gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, 'These men, Jews as they are causing our city trouble. And they are proclaiming customs that are not lawful for us to accept to practice, since we are Romans.'" So this morning, I kind of like to ask three questions. So I would like to know, would you consider these men that are about to go through a lot of trouble, would you consider them champions of the Bible? And I say that because I've been looked at other stories, and people ask me about who the great heroes and champions of the Bible are, and you start thinking about other names. You think of names like Samson. You think of a lot of the judges. Ehud, Shamgar, there's only one verse about him, but man, it's a powerful verse because he wipes out a lot of Philistines. Or maybe it's David and Goliath and that story, and you think about that. But I'd like to think about just these two, Paul and Silas. There's no doubt that Paul, in a lot of his books, he opens in it with encouragement. I'm continually thankful for you. I pray for you always. I hear of the good works that you do. Now, sometimes he's not always that way, but he's pretty encouraging. And at some point, this has caused him trouble, this lady that's done this thing. And now, while he is yet encouraging, he is going to have to do something very difficult. And I think about this when I was talking about this, when he is shied away, when this person comes up and says this and causes trouble and he has to stop this, it reminded me a lot of the things that happens to us when we're out talking to somebody about Jesus or church. Somebody comes up to us and they say something like, "You do the Lord's Supper every Sunday?" And they try to make it something different. Even though it's the truth of what we do, they make it into something different. Well, that sounds like that could become stagnant if you're doing it every week. And we know that's not the case. Or they might say something about baptism. They say, "Well, you know, that's a work." And it's just totally missed about what it is that we do as we answer in obedience to our faith. Or just doing good works in general, and people say, "Well, you think that works is what gets you to heaven." And I'm like, no. But faith is alive will do good works. And I think Paul is having to deal with this. And then there's this Silas, which in the chapter before, Silas is picked to help carry the message with Paul. And then Paul chooses him to go on a second missionary journey over John Mark. Remember, he had trouble with John Mark. He doesn't want to take him. So on the second missionary journey, he takes Silas. And I'm thinking there's obviously a good reason. He was picked, one, because he was a leader. But also, he probably had the right temperament from this. Because I think if I was Silas and I was with Paul, which would be great to learn for such a great person, and to be around them as they're teaching the gospel. But if that woman was following me around, and it was, I would think that I'd want to shy away from any controversy. I'd be like, no, Paul, don't do that, Paul. Please don't cause any trouble. And you know the story is they get beaten and thrown into jail. And that's where my sarcasm would come out. I'd be like, thanks, Paul. I appreciate our new setting. Just enough light comes in this dreary old dungeon of a prison. The shackles fit me really well. I needed a good beating today. I probably would not be very good as a missionary, right? But not Silas. He didn't say anything like that. At least it's not recorded. I see Silas as a hero. The fact that he could take all that and do all that. The crowd joined in the attack against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them secretly. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet into stocks. So here we have Silas, the silent one. We have Paul, the encourager. They've been beaten. They're in prison. My next question is, do you know the cost before you become a Christian? Now, a lot of us, if we think about before we became a Christian, we didn't think about that. We had other thoughts that we wanted to do. But now, are you counting the cost? Are you prepared? If a situation like that happens, we think that wouldn't happen in this great country. Every day, I'm not so sure. Something else new happens. But we're going to have to be ready. And we are a sacrifice for God. In Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that the will of God is what is good and acceptable and perfect. In order to count the cost, we have to start thinking that we cannot ever conform to the world. And they move that just a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. People say things, and they want to include you in that. And you're going to have to be like Paul. And you're going to have to say, no, I can't do that. That's not where my life lies. You have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to be able to look at God's word. You have to be in prayer. You have to be doing these things in order to keep your mind transformed to do the right things of being the opposed to be conformed to. And you have to put others before yourself. Philippians 2, 3 through 8, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, as he already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a bondservant, being born in likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of the death on the cross. Putting others first is extremely difficult. Not putting your interests first is difficult. I mean, like I've said, if I was Silas, I'd have been like, no, I don't want, let's not rumble it. Let's not cause trouble. But yet there was trouble. And Silas took it. by putting others before himself. And then we need to pick up our cross. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses life for my sake will find it. It's hard. It's hard to do the right things. And just like Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story, let's look at the end of this story. Now about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, thinking of the prisoners had escaped. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. And the jailer asked for lights and rushed in and trembled with fear. He fell down before Paul and Silas. And after that, he brought them out. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And I've got big, bold letters. Some of us need an earthquake to shake us. There are definitely people in our community that need it, but there may be people in here today that need that earthquake. Do we have, my third question, do we have the strength to persevere? Isn't it interesting what they did in prison? After they've been beaten and shackled, they sang a hymn. They saved the jailer from physical death. They taught and they saved him from a spiritual death. Can you be like Paul and Silas? Do you know the cost? Do you have the strength to persevere? I think sometimes we tend to get caught being extremely short-sighted, or, borrowing a phrase from a friend, suffering from spiritual myopia. It's the nearsightedness, right? It's not being able to see the distance, see objects in the distance because they appear blurry. It's what I have. If I take my glasses off, I can't see the front row. But in your life, when we make choices, if you go along with the crowd, you won't be able to see very far. But sometimes we have to wait and see what God does. Who would have thought that the demon-possessed woman would lead to the Philippian jailer to be saved? Or who would have thought that John Mark not being able to go on the missionary journey with Paul, because Paul argued for that, put Silas in place and the Philippian jailer is saved? We don't see that sometimes. We only see what we think we can do. I think you should use this analogy throughout your life. When you're raising your children, do you stop and think about the choices you make and how that will affect their future far in advance? We tend not to think about all the things. We think about all the things except the spiritual ones. That's how we usually operate. We think about what we can see and what we can do, and we start doing that stuff I was just talking about we put ourselves first. We didn't think we were. But we did, because we can't see far enough. And we suffer from that. We need to let God's plan unfold. And when we make a choice, we need to be making it based on what God wants. When you're raising your children, think about the future spiritually. I don't know that I could stress that enough. I think most of the youth ministers would agree with me in that very statement, is you have to think about spiritual things more important than any other thing that there is. And a lot of people go, yeah, that's right, that's right, that's right. Do you do the actions to make it happen that way? Do you realize there's going to be tough times? Do you realize that as parents, you have to say no sometimes? Do you realize that not every child needs a cell phone at 7 or 8 years old? There's a million things that we probably shouldn't do, but we've let the world kind of say, it's okay. Everybody else is doing it. It takes more as a Christian to do that. So in the rest of the story, they stopped the beating, they stopped the demon, they were beaten, they were chained, they were imprisoned. They stopped the jailer from losing his life. They said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of God to him together with all that were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. And he brought them into the house and set food before them and was overjoyed, since he had become a believer in God together with his whole household. Now when the day came, the chief magistrate sent their officer saying, release those men. I love this part of the story. And the jailers reported these words to Paul, saying, the chief magistrate has sent word that you be released. So come out now and go in peace. But Paul said to them, after beating us in public without due process, men who are Romans, they threw us into prison, and now they're releasing us secretly. No, indeed. On the contrary, let them come in prison and lead us out. The officers reported these words to the chief magistrates, and they became fearful when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and pleaded with them. And when they led them out, they repeatedly asked them to leave the city. They left the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they saw the brothers and sisters, they encouraged them and departed. I love that part, because Paul, now you tell them to come lead us out. Now, I don't know that I would be able to do that. But I know one day that's going to happen somewhere else. That's going to happen on judgment. All the people that have wronged others and not chosen to do the right thing, it's going to be exposed. I want to be covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to be clothed in Jesus Christ. I want to have been baptized. I want those things. I want my sins forgiven, so that I can stand there and have Jesus answer for me. This lesson, I just love Paul and Silas. I see them as just as heroic as any other people in the Bible. I think they suffered. I think we can learn from that. And I love it that you can see from the beginning of the story and go down to the end that something amazing happened. Not just the Philippian jailer, but his entire household believed in God. Silas might not have seen that coming, or maybe he did. Maybe he's like, Paul's been through a lot. This ought to be pretty interesting. I don't know. But today, you don't have to leave here not knowing about Jesus. That Jesus was on the cross for you, just like the Philippian jailer learned Jesus on the cross for him. and that he could be saved spiritually and not worry about what physically happens to him. And I hope in the future that you're looking ahead now and you're thinking about spiritual decisions now that make a difference for the future of my family. That's what I hope that we get from today, is that you make choices now. For whatever happened in the past, forget, but today you go, I'm going to do things differently. And I'm going to do better at making spiritual decisions for the future of my family. We always have the invitation. You can always come if you have a need. The elders would love to pray with you. If you're a Christian, you've gotten off that track and you want to make those decisions today to do right for your family. Or maybe you want to become a Christian today. And we would love to do that. We're ready to go. Always. There's sometimes during the week, I just want to put this out there. And you need help. This church family is here to help you. They love each other, and they want the best for each and every one of us. If you have a need, please come while we stand.